Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Hey, Sidney Crosby and the Penguins.
But take that L on the way out.
Thank you. Today, Jeff Holland was promoted to the active roster, and A.J. Johnson was let go by the Broncos. Nathan Peterman will get a tryout at quarterback, but that's not unusual. There'll be a lot of guys coming through in the next couple of weeks, maybe 15 to 20 guys, and they look at those guys in consideration for next year. So, no need to get all freaked out that Nathan Peterman is actually coming here to town. Although I understand he'll have a wonderful jacket and a safari hat.
But take that L on the way out.
Meanwhile, tonight we have Thursday Night Football with the Saints and the Cowboys. That's going to be a fun game, that's for sure. You can hear that starting at 6 o'clock right here on The Fan. And what else we got? I guess that's about it. Okay, Al. I felt like I cut you off there a little bit, but go ahead. What do you want to say?
What I want to say is that what we have to do as an organization for the Denver Broncos is find somebody who has the pedigree, who had it in high school, who had it in college, and can develop into that in the pros. What I've always said about having your starting quarterback is that he was the man in high school, he was a man in college, and he will once again be the man in the pros once he's matched up with the right coordinator. I'm always looking for guys who already fulfilled two of those prophecies to becoming the next great quarterback in the NFL. And if you look at the guys that I'm talking about and the guys that went undrafted or the guys that played at a high level, they did it at their respective universities that they missed on. Tom Brady was that guy in high school. He was that guy in college. For some reason, you know, the NFL didn't look at him like he was going to be that guy in the pros. Jameis Winston fits the profile. When you look at Jameis Winston's development, I think that you can also say that it's been stunted. He's had two head coaches and a different philosophy in each attempt. He's missed half of this year because of NFL disciplinary reasons. And going forward, that's a guy who, with the change of scenery and with the right coach around him, I believe is going to be the guy. The barbershop approves of this one. That's a good one. Now, if you got somebody out there better that is part of another NFL franchise that you would like to give up a second and fourth for without having to give up a first-round draft pick, let me know. But I think that is the best gamble that we possibly could make, because I'm always thinking of one thing. Who is it going to be to go into Pittsburgh and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers? Who is it going to be to go into New England and beat the New England Patriots when it's time to get to the next level of the playoffs? If your guy is not that guy, you need to start working on getting that guy.
What's wrong with Case Keenum?
I asked you this just yesterday. Do you believe that Case Keenum can go to New England and beat Tom Brady?
No.
Well, then you got to get rid.
Who do you believe can?
I believe that you can develop
who
Jameis Winston into that person. He's been that person in his life.
I think Case Keenum gives you a better shot at that than Jameis Winston.
We're not talking about, you know, a guy who. What is this year for Case Keenum? Is this year number 8?
Something like that.
Okay. Well. We're talking about a guy who is one of the younger quarterbacks in the NFL.
By the way, if Case Keenum does not turn the ball over, which he hasn't done, I do think he could go in and be the quarterback and the Broncos could beat the Patriots in New England. Actually, I do. If he doesn't
303-713-1043. That's our RamosLaw.com text line. 303-713-1043. I'm not going to do this with you. I'll let the fellas do it.
Talk?
Support or... deny your last claim.
You're not going to talk to me?
No, because you know what?
I think if the Broncos have a strong enough defense and personnel, if they don't turn the ball over, they can beat anybody. They almost beat the Rams. They almost beat the Chiefs. And the Rams and the Chiefs are better teams than the Patriots this year, so why not?
You think Case Keenum can go into Pittsburgh and beat the Steelers again?
If he doesn't turn the ball over, sure.
So if he doesn't turn the ball over,
yes,
then we beat the Steelers.
We have the possibility, yes.
No. The only formula
is...
Hold on.
There's no guarantees.
Your formula is just don't turn the football over and we'll win.
You have a great chance of winning.
Or are you looking at one of the most disastrous games that the Steelers have been part of in the better part of 10 years where they had four turnovers?
I think the Broncos forced those turnovers.
Well, I'm just saying, do you think that's, that you can duplicate that again against the Steelers?
You can try. You've got the right defense to do it.
Of course you can try. You can try to have a game when you don't turn it over.
Right.
But to say that that is going to be
Broncos
the normal outcome.
Last year was different. The Broncos weren't even close.
But to say that that is a normal outcome for this team, I think you're looking at it with the wrong lens.
It's the new normal. It's happened the past 2 weeks.
It's happened the last three weeks.
The new normal. Haven't had a turnover. I mean, they're doing great in terms of that. It's keeping them in games.
So my bottom line is always very simple.
Why couldn't any team in the NFL beat another team in the NFL if they don't turn the ball over?
Here's because the other team is going to pressure you into playing a style of football that you may not want to play.
Do you really think there's NFL teams? Who do you think is the worst team in the league?
The worst team in the league probably the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, okay. And they're playing, who's the best team in the league?
I would say either the Saints.
Okay.
The Rams.
I just say Saints.
Oh, the Saints.
All right. So the Cardinals.
Never happened.
The Cardinals go in to New Orleans, and the Saints are -4 in giveaway takeaway.
But that's not going to happen.
What's
D-Mac?
The final score of the game?
I'm telling you, they're not going to be a -4 team.
But what if they are?
They're not.
Oh, okay.
Good teams don't play like that.
But my point is, any team in the NFL, the worst team in the league, if you play the best team in the league and the best team goes -4, the best team could easily lose. I mean, you got to concede that to me.
That is not going to happen.
Forget about the specific teams. Let me just say.
You said the best team in the NFL versus the worst team in the NFL.
Right. And any year. Let's say it's 1983. And there's Team X, and Team X is terrible. And then there's Team Y, and Team Y is great. If Team Y
is
great.
Are you saying that we're one of the worst teams in the NFL?
No. You're really not listening, right?
I think I am. I think what I just heard is that you calling us one of the worst teams in the NFL.
No, I definitely didn't do that. That's
the Steelers are one of the best teams in the NFL. We beat them.
That's not what I said. Scott, you're on the fan. What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys. Al, I am one of your biggest fans, but you said something yesterday that's kind of gotten under my skin, and I think I need to correct you on it.
Go ahead.
And that was when you guys were talking about the Nuggets and the Lakers, and you said the win was not Malone's, and you didn't like what he had to say.
I did not.
Okay, well, let me ask you this.
I've never had a trash-talking coach ever in my life. Never in my life have I had a trash-talking coach at any level to the other opponent publicly.
Okay, it's not trash when it's true. Okay, and
are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Was that trash-talking or not?
That was not trash-talk. That
D-Mac, was that trash-talk?
Was that trash talk?
Gold okay. In the crowd tonight. You think maybe you won a convert or two?
We don't want any converts. You're either with us or you're against us. And we understand when we play these great teams, LeBron is arguably the best player ever. And when he comes to town and the Lakers, you know, their fans carry. But as long as their fans go home disappointed, that's all I care about. So the Warrior fans can come in here. The Celtic fans can come in here. The Laker fans come in here. But take that L on the way out.
Is that trash talk?
That is
world championship trash talk.
Are you kidding me?
That is trash talk.
Where's my man? You didn't hang up on him, did you?
No.
I'll let him go ahead and finish. Go ahead and finish, bro.
Can I make one point here?
Go ahead.
He is there every day with that team. He coaches that team up. He's on the court taking the heat. He puts them in the right position during making the plays. All they have to do is simply be athletic. Now, why is not half of that win his? Especially when
the win belongs to the players. The wins belong to the players, and you know that.
If he doesn't get them, and management's the first one out the door, why can't he have the win?
It's just not part of our sports culture to see that or hear that from a coach. It's not.
I think this is a good time for me to talk about a season of hope. It's presented by AquaSpas, where we're looking to provide the men of the Denver Rescue Mission's new life program some Christmas spirit and support. Program is a long-term rehabilitation for addicts and chronically homeless men in the Denver area. Those in the program have taken major steps towards becoming contributing members of our community. So we're partnering with AquaSpas to provide them with a present for the holidays and year-long support. One donation of $30 makes you a hero of hope. It's very simple to do. All you have to do is go to 1043thefan.com to provide a gift and support. Thank you for contributing to the Fan Season of Hope presented by AquaSpas. All right. You have any more thoughts on the good old Cincinnati Bengals here? I mean,
it feels like to me that this game profiles like the Jets. To me, it feels like, at least in your perspective that you've given me, there's no respect for the team.
Well, what's your perspective?
My perspective is they have a young quarterback who is exceptionally gifted, who has a strong arm, and he made some impressive throws last week. He made two or three that were could cost him, but he made more good throws than bad. And he certainly looked like a guy who is an NFL caliber quarterback. It's just that we don't know who he is.
Well, but nobody really knows. He's never started a game before.
Hey. But guess what?
This will be his first start.
But guess what? He profiles like the franchise quarterbacks that I'm talking about. Big-time high school player. He was a big-time college player. And he's now in the NFL. We'll see what it looks like.
Nah. To me, I've seen guys like Jeff Driscoll litter the NFL for years. You know, I was bringing up yesterday, forgot about him off the air, but Todd Collins. To me, I'll just never forget when I was in Buffalo and they drafted Todd Collins. Now, who's Todd Collins? Well, Todd looked like you're just absolutely...
Yeah, what Todd Collins was, third round pick?
Something like that, yeah. And
why would he be the guy?
This guy is a sixth round pick. So Todd is just, I mean, when you look at Todd Collins, you're like, oh my God, that guy's a quarterback.
6'4", 230 coming out of college.
Just like, played at Michigan, big time plays. And then I got to meet Todd and talk to him, and it was like talking to a 2x4, and just didn't really have it. Just didn't really have it. I don't know how else to put it. Couldn't really get guys to have much confidence in him. But I think Todd Collins stayed in the league for like 15 years. There's another guy, another Todd. When I was at Syracuse, a guy named Todd Philcox.
Why did you bring that up?
Todd Philcox is another guy, 6'4", 220, played 1 year
played
at Syracuse.
Played 12 years in the NFL. Todd Collins played 12 years.
12 years. And I think Todd Philcox might have played close to 10 years. The reason I bring it up is because the NFL just gives these 6'4", 230 guys like every chance in the book. Because like on the surface, you just look like, this guy looks amazing. Brady Quinn got every single chance you could humanly imagine. Until he proved he really couldn't play in the NFL. So to me, Jeff Driscoll looks like nothing that special. He just looks like he should be special.
He didn't look special in the fourth quarter against the Browns?
No, he did not.
He didn't?
No, he did not. In fact, he threw an interception that got taken away because of a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Also
be noted that he threw a completion at the end of that game with roughly 3.5 minutes to go, where there was a huge completion that would have brought the game within one touchdown if the receiver would have just been set.
Okay.
So
he did not look special to me. No, it looked the Browns.
Those throws didn't look good to you.
They looked all right.
Man, I'm hoping
me, it
my
like
guys.
A team
I'm
blowing out another team.
I hope my Broncos win. But if they don't, and when we come in here Monday, and you're saying, you know what? That was just a bad game. You know, that's on the coaches. You know, da, da, da. Hey, man, this thing, then that thing. And you don't give the credit to the quarterback?
If the Broncos lose, it'll be on the players. There's no doubt about it.
So their player can't outplay, their quarterback can't possibly outplay our quarterback.
Oh, no, he could definitely outplay Case Keenum.
Well, then
he's not going to outplay our defense, though. Our defense gave up 10 points to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That was a great day.
Our defense is
the
playing.
Turnovers contributed to that, but that was a great day.
They sure did. And we generated, the Broncos generated
those
turnovers.
That's not normal, by the way, creating four turnovers in a game. I don't know how many times that's even happened for the Denver Broncos.
What would be normal?
One, maybe two? Four?
Well, the Broncos right
one
now
of them,
are
one
what?
Of them fumbled through the end zone for a touchback?
Yeah, that was awesome. That's heart and effort right there, man.
That was a lot of heart.
That's Will Parks not giving up on the play right
that
there.
That is a huge play from a safety. And another one was a blocked field goal. You think that's going to happen often when Justin Simmons jumps over the center again and blocks another field goal?
We have had consecutive games with great turning point special teams play. So, yes, I can imagine Tom McMahon will dial up some sort of special teams play that makes an impact.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Because we've seen it. We've seen
it
now like five games.
I think our coaching staff is off the chain.
Yeah.
I think our coaching staff
crushing
is off
it.
The chain.
Right.
And if we would have had a great play from Case Keenum early in this season, we would be in a much better situation. But he has come along late for this team. And that is a good thing for Denver Bronco fans. But to think that we're going to force four turnovers anytime soon.
I just said two.
Okay, two is doable.
So the Broncos are what on the year? They're plus two?
Seven, I think. I think we're plus six or
plus
seven.
Plus six?
Plus six or plus seven.
Oh, boy. Are we really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't have that sheet in front of me.
Yeah, I think it's plus six or plus seven for the year.
Hmm.
Last year, we were minus 17.
Well, the Broncos go plus
That's
two.
That's a 23-point difference, 23 turnover difference.
I've got Broncos plus six here.
Plus six. That's awesome.
23, that's a 23 turnover difference in 1 year.
So the Bengals plus one, just for reference.
So if the Broncos go plus two, which would be great, which could be
By the way, the Bengals sitting there at plus one, what does that rank? I know the Broncos got to be in the top five or six, right?
Broncos tied at seventh with Miami. The Bengals are tied at 17th with the Giants.
Okay, all right.
So the Broncos say it's three takeaways, one giveaway. That's plus two. Oh, my God. That game's in the Broncos' pocket.
Oh, that's gone. That's a game over.
If it's two turnovers to none, it's a close game.
But if one of those turnovers happened at the end of the half on the Hail Mary.
Yeah, those are kind of the garbage turnovers.
I look at those plays. And like
I'm happy to go down the analytic quality turnover margin if you want.
I would love to do that. I would love to create a stat that shows the turnovers that matter. Like first, you know, Case Keenum. Turnovers are littered with first down interceptions.
Not only did the Broncos go plus four, all four of those turnovers were high quality turnovers. One was about to be a touchdown.
Took seven off of the board.
The Chris Harris
took 14 points off the board for the Steelers.
The Chris Harris one came when the Steelers led by seven and were driving.
Right.
Huge moment.
That's a huge one.
The Bradley Roby one came after with a big run from Connor.
A screen from, sorry.
Yep. And that's in the red zone.
That's right.
That's huge. And then
Ben Roethlisberger interception.
Oh my God, does it get better than Shelby
Harris?
That's what
I'm telling you. All of those
high quality
turnovers were impactful.
The sack that, I mean, they didn't get to Ben a lot, 56 attempts and only, you know, two sacks, but the sack Von Miller had half of a sack.
They gave him a half on that?
They did.
That was a full sack for Von, but okay.
Well, not according to statisticians.
Well, I'm just telling you that Von secured his arm and he was on his way down.
They said Von shared that with
Shelby Harris,
yeah.
Yeah, it was not a half a sack. Vaughn got there first, and he put his arms around him. But okay.
Was Vaughn griping about that the other day?
Probably not. I mean, no. Shelby Harris had half a sack, an interception, and had a kid on Friday.
No,
you don't want that.
Strawberry
to be.
Man saying that Vaughn did have some sassy things to say about it, I guess.
I mean, that was not a half sack. From a guy who's played in that league and had sacks, that's not a half sack.
All right, here's what Vaughn said.
I mean, see, I always felt in my heart that was my sack. You know, so, see, whenever they awarded me with a sack, it was like, okay, yeah, cool. I mean, I already knew that. You know, so it's really not, and that's just part of the game. And I would have loved, you know, to give Shelby that sack. Not really, but, you know, it would have been dope, you know, to have Shelby get that sack and, you know, the interception and the crazy game that he had and, you know, him having a newborn baby. And all this. I would love to do that for you, Shelby, but, you know, I can't do it. But it's a tight race. It's a tight race when you look at the sack lead. Of course, you got Aaron Donald.
All right, does Vaughn not know that he only got half a sack on that? Shelby got half a sack on that, too.
He's probably not paying attention. I bet you he knows today.
When
they tabulate all the sack totals and they send all that stuff out, like on Tuesday and Wednesday, that's when you find out.
Yeah, Vaughn might have thought he got something that he didn't. He only got half a sack.
He got that.
Unless they changed something.
Unless that's official. Now, that's not official. That's unofficial.
You're right. Maybe they changed something.
I mean, that's a full sack for Vaughn. He got that first. He had the quarterback arm trapped.
There's stat corrections all the time. So perhaps that was a stat correction there. Who knows? Vaughn. Don't worry. Bengals are terrible.
Keep saying it.
Terrible.
Keep saying it. Terrible, huh? Number one scoring team efficiency-wise in the red zone. Does that count?
It's their only good stat. That's the only thing they got.
If we had that, D-Mac, we would have 6 wins and 5 losses. Okay?
If I was 5 inches taller, I'd be in the Baseball Hall of Fame right now. I'd have such an unbelievable career.
I'm just saying, dude. I mean, those are the things that make you a good team. Or a bad team.
Let's go to, oh man, you really stirred the pot with this Jameis Winston stuff.
Why? Because it's right. I'm right.
Yeah, nobody has your back on that. There's not one
person. The next team that gets Jameis Winston is going to reap the benefits of having one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL.
Hi, Mike. What's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I feel like if we had Jameis Winston, he could go in anywhere and impose his will more than Case Keenum. Because he's not as timid as Case Keenum, and that's all I got to say.
All right, there you go. Well, there you go. There's your guy.
I believe he's going to be that guy.
There you go. LaShawn, you're on the fan. Hi, LaShawn.
Hey, guys. Now, look, you said this past the barbershop. Man, what shop are you going to?
Nice.
Not yours, apparently. We don't go to the same barbershop. I can guarantee you that.
That boy is broken. On the field? He ain't got no decision making. His footwork is crappy. Off the field, he's more about wilding out. That's not what we need. Who's going to develop him here in Denver?
We have a great developer of the quarterback.
We didn't develop. City.
Hold on.
Developing Case Keenum. We ain't going to develop Jameis Winston.
Hold on. I do believe that Bill Musgrave is a great developer of quarterbacks. If the quarterback will take the time and work hard to do the things that good quarterbacks do.
Yeah, but
all right. So you said work hard. That is something that is not in Jameis Winston's vocabulary.
That's untrue. There has never been a report about Jameis Winston not working hard. You will never find that anywhere at any time.
Guess what else? You won't find a report that says he works hard and he shows up and he's the first one in, the last one out.
You can find that everywhere. You'll find that everywhere. So apparently you don't know who you're talking about. So I think you don't like him, but you don't know what you're talking about.
No, I like the kid. I was from Florida. I almost
so you how did you come up with that conversation about? Look, Jameis Winston was in there at like 5 a.m. the first day that they let him come into the building after suspension. Certainly, that's the first guy in the building.
Almost off the team. He's trying to keep his job.
Hey, LaShawn, the most important question though is what is the name of your barbershop?
I go to the barbershop of reality and common sense.
All right, thank you. How much do you tip there?
Not a lot.
This is the drive.
Because reality is not very good, and the common sense doesn't make sense.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3.
Yeah, so they did give a stat correction, and Vaughn got a full sack on that one. What's going on?
trying to get you ready for Taste Tuesday.
Wow. Thursday night football tonight. Our King Supers fan football pick'em is on. Got to do that here. Hey, can I just say for the record, because I saw Mike Pritchard do the walk of shame, and when he was doing the walk of shame, like he held up a little like stick with my face on it saying, I should be there too.
Why? Why?
Because we tied for like the worst picks for the quarter.
Oh.
Nobody ever asked me to do the walk of shame. I thought Mike lost in a tiebreaker. And then I watch his video and he's like, oh, well, but D-Mac should be here. So I'm going to walk with a stick with D-Mac's face on it. And it makes me look like I was trying to weasel out of doing it. I promise you that
wasn't
the case.
Sounds like you're feeling a sense of guilt here.
I don't feel guilt. I was a little ticked off.
Well, it sounds like that you should have been there.
Literally nobody told me I needed to be there or I would have been there.
Mm.
I did it before, and I would have walked down the hall with Mike Pritchard. I would have rather have walked down the hall in the walk of shame with Mike Pritchard than, you know, a stick figure of me.
Or you being called out on what was that, Barstool?
Barstool.
Deadspin? Deadspin, is that where you got called out?
What are you talking about?
When you made a bet with somebody?
Oh, that was so ridiculous. That was another ridiculous
one. Deadspin that he was on? Not Barstool, huh?
Nah, it was Deadspin.
Okay.
They love D-Mac over at Deadspin.
I've been on there a few times. Like a guy on social media says, hey, I bet you this, that, the other. Okay, you're on. It's like.
And then you didn't want to pay up.
Well, I didn't think about it. Like, it's like, oh, okay, I guess we can't fool around. We can't have fun. You don't understand anything. Remember the guy came in?
He said, hey, man, where's my money?
And he was a turd. He was a total turd. We were going to give him something that had more value than $100. We had tickets to, like, a game to say, oh, hey, it's all good and we're having fun.
He wanted
and
the money.
He wanted the cash.
Like where, how were you going to find him, though,
He was just a...
No, I'm just saying, but how would you have found him? How would you have found him? Right, if he would have lost.
And nor would I have... It's like nothing. It's like you just say it to have fun. Yeah, yeah, sure.
I bet you that... Okay,
I don't know who you are. I don't care about you.
Okay, bet.
All right.
Bet.
So a guy like that takes all the fun out of anything else in the future because you realize, oh, okay, I can't goof around with people like that. Can't have fun with people like that. Okay. Deadspin writes it up like I'm welching on a bet. I don't even know who the guy is. Guy came in studio and it was kind of pathetic, actually. Like that in his life, he needed $100 more than he just needed a fun night to go out. We couldn't believe it. We had tickets to some Nuggets games or something. He was like, no, I'll just take the $100.
I know. You got your hand spanked on that one, too, I remember.
Oh, my wife was upset. She already sent me a text today. She's like,
don't you make any bets today.
My wife!
Now she goes, why are you paying for more TV apps? I paid.
Now you can't.
I paid $6 per month, and I'm canceling today.
Man, your wife is on it.
My wife, who gets to see me naked, by the way.
Right.
That I just dropped her with the latest ratings news, and her response was, wow, so exciting.
Yeah. Take that for data.
Take that for data.
Dude, you take the L else, on the way out.
Yeah. Whatever. We'll take the W on the way out. Thank
take
you very
that
much.
For data.
It's always good, bro.
It's always good.
It's always good.
Always good. Let's go to... Oh, by the way, I the Brain Trust in the back is putting together our Super Bowl plans.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's actually kind of a tricky job for Armin and Raj to figure this stuff out. I mean, there's a bunch of us that are going to the Super Bowl. And you got to figure out a hotel that makes sense. And they all gouge you on Super Bowl week, right?
Well, they gouge you on Friday. They say that you have to say Friday, three-night minimum. But if you go on the weekend, that's when the rates get outrageous.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way normal people can afford to just stay in, like, downtown Atlanta on Super Bowl weekend.
I mean, I was looking for, like, a vacation rental, you know, kind of deal.
Remember the most ridiculous time in the history of all time of us going to Super Bowls? And we've been, like, what, 10 Super Bowls together? Indianapolis, when we were downtown... over the weekend or something. Remember that on Thursday night?
Yeah, and we had to move.
We had to move to a hotel 40 minutes outside of Indianapolis.
Right. I was not very happy.
Al and I ended up like for dinner, like at the hotel restaurant for karaoke night when there was like 15 people from nowhere, Indiana. I don't know.
Was that during Super Bowl?
Super Bowl week, yeah.
Dude, that was not a Super Bowl experience.
I think I cooked myself a grilled cheese sandwich with some tomato.
Oh, boo-hoo!
Hey, dude,
Why me?
That was not a real Super Bowl moment. It was not. That was not one of our best moments. I'm going to say that and leave it at that. It was not one of our best Super Bowl moments.
Although that was a fun Super Bowl week.
It's always fun to go to the Super Bowl, but when that last night or so, we were like, "What? Where are we?" We were in like this small town in Indiana, and we were like, "Well, what is this?"
And by the way, on that particular Super Bowl, I eventually did get to stay at the hotel downtown, but only on Super Bowl night, and we could not.
How was that hotel?
Oh, it's great. It was the JW, which was the main one. But I only got to stay there after everything was said and done. And we couldn't afford to fly me back on a Monday. So I had to stay there an extra day. And we didn't pay like $300 for me to broadcast downtown. I had to get in a cab, no Ubers back then, and go 40 minutes away to another radio station. We had different ownership. We had a different program director. It was a different time. It was a different time. Totally different time. You don't have to feel bad for us. It was just ridiculous. But I did get a super scarf, and that made it all worthwhile.
I know. What is up with you and that super scarf?
That was the most. That was awesome. I was at the Eli Manning press conference because he was the MVP. Because I wasn't leaving until Tuesday. So I'm sticking around for like press conferences after the Super Bowl.
You love those press conferences. You love to take over those things.
No. Just a little bit every now and then. The Goodell question has legs because it's relevant to the ownership situation now. That thing kind of grows with time. But I'm at that Super Bowl and Eli gets up and I don't know how they get up. They must not have more than 15 minutes of sleep, but somehow they're there at 8:30 in the morning and I won the Super Bowl, and I look over there, and there's the host committee. And I just go, the president of the host committee, and I'm like, hey, I just got to tell you, those super scarves were amazing.
Can I get one?
I did not say that, but I did give her a compliment. She reaches into her handbag, which was huge, and pulls out a super scarf knitted by a woman in North Dakota.
Oh, really?
Yep. Every super scarf had a personal note from the person that knitted the scarf.
Oh, that's fantastic.
All the super scarves were slightly different. They were just blue and white. It was like the greatest Super Bowl thing. If they put the Super Bowl back in Indianapolis, that would be fine by me.
You have this great affinity for Indianapolis. I don't know why. I don't know.
Oh, my God. It was so much fun.
I just don't get it.
You wanted to go, like, to... You wanted to get here. Everything was happening downtown, and you wanted to get in a car and drive 40 minutes somewhere else to a players' party somewhere.
And it was off the chain. You better believe that.
I hope you had a good time, because that's a car I'm not getting into. Because earlier in the week, you told me you were in the VIP area, and you were in a different bar a mile down the road. You lost my trust, big man. Look up. Oh, we see you. Turn to your
like,
left.
Where?
Wait.
Where?
Look around. Oh, man. We're in the VVIP section. Very, very important people. The VVIPPs.
Oh, man.
We're in the middle of the fan season of hope, presented by AquaSpas. Looking to provide the men of the Denver Rescue Mission's New Life program some Christmas spirit. Want to thank our partners at AquaSpa who want to be involved in this program for the second straight year. You know, we talked to Meredith and Matt from AquaSpas, who explained why this cause is so important to them.
We're really excited to be back here for the second year as sponsors again, and we feel it an honor, certainly, to be able to be in a position where we can help people. The Denver Rescue Mission is a really important part of the community and does so much to help people, especially this time of year, but all year round as well.
It's something that we should do is give back to the community. I mean, that's with this program. I mean, it's something that hopefully is going to put men back to where they need to be in society and get them off the streets.
You know, we've been around for over 25 years, the Denver Rescue Mission has been around for a long time, and they just keep growing and expanding what they're able to do and help more and more people. It's a really impressive organization. We're in a little bit different business where we can help people relax, but we're really happy that we're able to just do what we can to help with people that need help as well.
I mean, that's something that's really cool. I mean, to see true sincerity from people. It's not fake. You know, it's someone who doesn't have things, so they really don't take stuff for granted, and they're really appreciative. I mean, it's nice for us to be able to help contribute to something like that.
Very cool. With the Fan Season of Hope presented by Aqua Spas, you can give a gift and support to these men, all of whom are working back to a more stable and productive life. We want them to lift themselves up to become productive members of our community. Simply go to 1043thefan.com and provide a monetary gift of support. One donation of $30 makes you a hero of hope. And thank you for contributing to the Fan's Season of Hope presented by Aqua Spas.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Got to make our picks here tonight, Alfred. Who are you taking, the Saints or the...
Stop, please.
It's kind of ridiculous. Are they the best team in the NFL?
Yeah, Saints? Without question. I think they are just on this revenge tour about that Case Keenum last second touchdown that happened in Minneapolis last year. You know, those kind of things can galvanize the team next year. You know what happened with us when we lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Ooh, I am taking a lot of road teams right here. That kind of scares me. Yikes.
Shame.
Yeah, I know.
Shame.
Oh, my God. I am taking so many road teams.
Shame.
Oh, dear. Not good.
Shame.
Okay.
Shame.
Chargers or Steelers? Who do you like there?
Shame.
That's a good game, huh?
Chargers, Steelers?
Yeah, I'll take the Steelers. Chargers are, I don't believe in them.
Well, Melvin Gordon is gone for the year.
Dude, I'm taking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 road games. Yikes. Oh, well, you're a hero or a zero. And I've been a zero plenty of times. I'm seeing this 30 for 30 on Bobby Knight, one of the more despicable coaches of all time.
No doubt about that.
The chump's chump. What a horrible legacy he's ultimately left for himself.
What is it about?
I don't know. 30 for 30s are usually pretty praiseworthy, but...
Guy was not nice. He was not nice for...
Just awful. He's everything I wouldn't want my kid to have as a coach if he went to college.
Not a Bobby Knight fan.
No.
I don't think that's the way... After playing for Bill McCartney, a tough-nosed coach who is really... a no-nonsense guy, I know that there is a better way to lead young men. So
couldn't agree more.
Those who believe in that style, well, then you're wrong. It's not right.
And if that's what you have to do to lead young men, forget it. It's not worth it. Tim, you're on the Fan. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Super.
Good. Hey, bye. I've been in Denver for about 3 years, been a listener ever since I got here.
Nice.
I've lived all over the country for work, but you guys do a really great job on the show.
Oh, Thank you, man.
Having said that, Big Al, you mentioned something about Jeff Driscoll earlier. I don't know if you watched the second half of that Browns game, but I mean,
yes,
they rolled their entire secondary back in coverage for the entire second half, so that doesn't really worry me about Driscoll. He's not going to hang 300 on you guys this Sunday. It's just not going to happen. Broncos should win by 10 if Case Keenum doesn't throw a couple picks. My question is, I really feel after the last two games, the Chargers and the Steelers, I feel like the Broncos are hiding Case Keenum behind the rest of their offense. I just was curious if you felt the same way, and if so, how long can they keep doing that before other teams catch on?
I think that's pretty perceptive, Tim. I'd have to agree with you. And we talked about how without Demaryius there, there's not that same pressure to get it to two different guys. And, you know, Case has just been a little bit smarter with the ball.
What I think is that less is more. Less is more with Case Keenum.
The first option in every game is going to be, what can we do with Philip Lindsay?
No,
and then we'll figure it out from there.
Right. How can we run it with Phillip Lindsay? And how can we get Emmanuel Sanders the football? That's the yeah. order.
And then we'll go from there. Goes. And if we have
like
a
when
few...
we run the football, these are Phillip Lindsay's plays. And when we throw the football, these are plays for Emmanuel Sanders.
And if we have a few three and outs, but we don't turn the ball over, that's okay. Especially if your punter can punt decent, and Colby Wadman had his best punting game of the year last week. So it's not, you know, the fanciest approach. It's not, you know, lighten up the scoreboard, anything like that. But boy, it gives you a chance to compete, doesn't it? The Bengals have been horrible giving up first drive scores. I think they've given up like 5 games in a row first drive scores, something like that. So, and the Broncos did go 3 and out. 2 runs, bad throw, punt the ball against the Steelers. Keep your eyes on that first possession. If you can see the, and I'm not saying it's over on the first possession. Who cares? It's a long game. But the Broncos should be pretty effective. And Phillip Lindsay, he's got 780 yards. When's the parade when he hits 1,000 yards like we had for C.J. Anderson last year?
His 1,000 yards look a whole lot different than anybody else's that we've had around here.
You remember all that with C.J.?
We're talking about classic, you know, what is it, 8 yards a carry or some ridiculous number like that it was last week? I mean, this is crazy what's going on with Phillip Lindsay.
All right,
we have to replay that interview that he had.
We can definitely get to that.
Let's get to that tomorrow. You guys are going to want to hear that. I think Stokely and Zach did a good job talking about it, and we're going to touch it tomorrow. For my partner, D-Mac, for Big Sexy, the man behind the glass, and, of course, Kyle Berry, the strawberry man, I'm Big Al. Man, have a great night. Not a good night. Have a great night, and we'll see you back here tomorrow at 3 on The Drive. Good night, everybody.